good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for November 4th, 2012. Koyo Kubota here. Glad you joined us. I hope that the East Coast and everyone affected by Hurricane Sandy is adjusting and coping as well as they can, and Mother Nature's telling us that she's still in charge, and every once in a while reminds us that we're not in charge. And in fact, more than that, you know, in recent times we have to realize that we ourselves, and the way our lifestyle and society is, has contributed to climate changes. And as comic strip Pogo said a long time ago, we have met the enemy. He is us. So we always have to be reminded of that. Well, let's begin with our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse today. And this is Douglas Sanyo. And he's part of a nice group of LM5, Lay Minister, the fifth group to go through the two-year program. And the students come from all over the country, and they get together every Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, depending on the time zone. And, of course, I hope everybody remembered to change their clocks today. We saved an hour. Well. Okay, without further ado, Douglas Sanyo-san.
Good morning, and thank you very much, Koyo-sensei. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak this morning. Let me start by asking two questions. When was the last time you were happy? And then when was the last time you were angry? For a lot of us, being angry seems to be the easiest one to remember. And it's purely human nature, and that's our ego self talking. I'm reminded about anger from a lesson by Thich Nhat Hanh, who said that we should treat our anger like a baby. You can't get upset at a baby when they cry or they seem needy or they've messed on themselves, because they can't help it. They haven't learned life's lessons. But for a majority of us, we have learned life's lessons. And anger is just another example of our ego self coming out. And it's damaging to us, because our anger leads a lot of us to make bad decisions, bad choices, which lead to bad consequences. Shakyamuni Buddha gave an example, because when our ego is damaged, it affects us, and it usually affects us in anger. Our anger is nothing more than just that ego self-talking. Shakyamuni gave the example that if somebody handed you excrement on a silver platter, would you take it? Would you accept it? Of course not, because it is what it is. It's foulness, it's filth. And we naturally are repulsed by it. So in all reality, we should be naturally repulsed by our anger, because it does no good to any of us. It does, and especially to ourselves, because it really eats away at our natural compassion and our natural goodness. I'm reminded that a lot of psychologists say that we feed off of our anger, and that's a foul food. We really should be nourishing our bodies with compassion, kindness, and intelligence, because feeding on one's anger is actually being ignorant to ourselves and to others. I'm reminded, too, of an anatomical lesson, because I've been in medicine for so many years. It takes more muscles to frown and to disfigure your face in anger than it does to smile. Smiling comes very easy. And the next time you get angry, take a step back. Take a breath. Take another deep breath. And if you need to, take another deep breath. And just thoroughly examine what it is that made you angry. And 9 times out of 10, you will find that it really was something ridiculous. And look at it with that. And most of the time, you'll be able to laugh at it. And when you can laugh it off, you have actually saved yourself a lot of time, a lot of hassle, and a lot of wear and tear on your muscles and your face. Smile more, and your anger will be a lot less. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's kind of interesting how coincidences happen all the time. And, you know, we have a Dial of Dharma service where it's 24/7. And you can call in a number and, you know, Dial of Dharma for a short 2-3 minute talk. And they alternate daily between, we used to have he started out, we've been doing this for 25 years, and my father, we taped all these things, put them on cassette tapes, and then we finally transferred them all over to an MP3 format, put it into the computer, and now it's in a computer library, over 300 talks, and we change them every day and alternate them between myself and my father's Dial of Dharma talks, and people can call in on their cell phone when they're driving or whatever and hear a little short Dharma talk if they want to. And every morning I go on a computer and go into the program, it's called Ring Central, and it's we just use it for this Dial of Dharma service. And I change the tape to the next one, you know, in the queue. And it just so happened that this morning, and if you want to check this out, see, I don't have the number handy right now, but if you want to check it out, well, go to the website and get the number for Dial of Dharma. And it's exactly what was mentioned today. It's a talk about Adrian says, gave me a piece of paper which is supposed to have Dial of Dharma on it, but it doesn't have Dial of Dharma on it. Dial of Dharma is an 847 number. Oh, Ring Central, Dial of Dharma, here it is. Yeah, okay. The enemy, we have met the enemy. He's always us. It's me. 847-386-8836. Dial of Dharma. And the title is Indifference to Criticism and Verbal Abuse. This is when the Buddha, you know, he was always, whenever anybody, prominent person, elicits jealousy and so forth from others. And so as great as the Buddha was, loved and respected, there's always those who heard his talk and said, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because they also are great teachers too. Of course, they're not that great if they have that kind of jealousy. But after one of these times, his trusted disciple Ananda said, gee, you don't seem to get upset when people talk so bad to you. And the Buddha explained, as the Dharmavyama said. He said, if someone offered some filth on a plate, you know, would you accept it? He goes, oh, no, if it's filth, I wouldn't accept it. He goes, well, that's what I do. If someone offers me something on a plate and it's something good, that is, something useful to me, it's a valid criticism, I'll take it and use it. But if it doesn't have anything to do with me, well, I just forget about it. I don't let it affect me. This is easier said than done, but it shows the tremendous center within, the self-responsibility, knowing that we are the ones that could be our greatest teachers or our greatest enemy, ourselves, the self-responsibility, rather than blaming external things. Well, why did that guy say such a bad thing about me? That guy's bad. No. This is a tremendous thing about the Buddhist teachings. Because when you realize what's getting us upset and everything, it's a 180-degree turn from something that was completely external and outside. We see that the power, the control, the responsibility is me internally. Okay? That's a tremendous turnaround and insight that revolutionizes one's own life. In fact, I'd like to share with you a famous story about in Japan, there's a story, I guess it's a parable. There was a young couple that lived with the husband's elderly mother, and the young couple, they would go to temple all the time and listen to the Dharma talks. But the mother was not a follower, and she didn't like them going to the temple. She was kind of jealous. You know, they would make donations and stuff like this, and she wanted to stop them from going to the temple and listening to the Dharma talks. So this elderly woman got a mask of a devil's mask. Scary. Now, this is appropriate since we just finished Halloween. And she hid behind some trees. Now, remember, this is a parable. She hid behind the trees along the mountain trail that led to the temple. And then the young wife was coming back from listening to a Dharma talk, and the elderly woman jumped out of the dark because it was getting dark twilight, and the mask was on and scared the daughter-in-law. If you come back this way again, I'm going to eat you. So the young woman was terrified. And she did the same thing to the son, scaring him. And she was happy that her trick had worked. And she decided to take off the mask and, be satisfied. But when she tried to take off the mask, she couldn't. It was stuck to her face. What can she do? So she had to go home, and she confessed to her son and daughter-in-law what she had done. And she asked for their help to remove the mask. They tried, but they couldn't do it either. He said, hey, what can we do? And the couple said, well, let's go to the temple and listen to Dharma talk. Okay? Dharma never fails us. Never lets you down. So they did. They heard it. Dharma talk, and the elderly woman, it was the first time she ever went to the temple and heard a Dharma talk, and she started to listen very intently to the teacher's message, and all of a sudden, the mask disappeared. Now, how do we interpret this kind of a story? On one level, you might say, oh, the Dharma talk must have been so good that the mask fell off after the woman heard the message. Does this show the power of the teacher, the power of the teaching, the power of the Dharma? Well, there's a deeper way of interpreting this story. The deeper way is this. When the elderly woman, when she saw herself as a devil, when she realized that she herself was a devil, then the mask disappeared. This is an amazing story. If you see yourself as a devil, then you would not care that your face looked like that of a devil. So speaking metaphorically, then the mask disappears. Self-realization, seeing yourself as you are. With the three poisons, that we are ignorant beings, that we are full of anger and greed as human beings. We're not saints and angels. To realize we have met the enemy and he is us. Okay. There's another story in the Shin Buddhist tradition about Saichi, who's a Myokonin, they call him, sort of a down-to-earth person who really is a sincere follower. And he got rather well known for his spirituality and humility and so forth. And he was having a portrait painted of him And the artist painted a nice portrait of Saichi, and when he showed it to Saichi, he said, "Hey, there's something missing. You didn't show the horns of the devil that stick out of my head. Please put some horns on my head." And that's what the artist did. And that picture still exists. It became a famous picture in the Buddhist tradition, Zen Buddhist tradition. Now the question is, who does something like that? Most of us would want a portrait that's flattering of us. We don't even want to look heavier or older than we are. But Saichi goes to the extent of saying to the artist, "Hey, put some horns on my head." Okay. Yeah, it's a very sincere way, too, not as a... Okay. We're taught to fear the devil, aren't we? Or to go to hell and be around devils. But at the core of Buddhism, if we see ourselves, our own ego, and we realize we are the devils, there's no devil to be feared outside of us, or in hell, or in the dark. The greatest devil to fear is the ego self that does not see itself. But if we encounter the Dharma, then we can be shown this ego self that is often like a little devil, conniving this, conniving that, trying to put others in a bad light to make ourselves look good, putting up a good front, but all the time having an insincere heart within. You know, the Buddhist literature has a lot of expressions like demons, and they're not meant in a literal manner. Demons represent the world of the ego self, the world of the unawakened life. If we do awaken to the world of the ego self, then the devil and demons of the world will disappear, because we will see that the demons we saw outside of ourselves was actually nothing other than myself as a human being. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and you have a very beautiful, devilish day. Thank you.